I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan Hort is the voice of not only the Bengals in the NFL Pain Day, but the Bearcats of Cincinnati. And they got a great football team this year and basketball. They have a new coach, John Brannan. I don't know how long he's been there. I remember your boy Mick rolled out to Pauley Pavilion, right? And didn't you start the coach's show tonight at some boathouse somewhere? That sounded like a good time. I wish I went to that instead of this.
The home of the world's greatest ribs, the Montgomery Inn in Cincinnati. Multiple locations. We were at the boathouse tonight. Highly recommended the next time you visit my fair city.
That's right. That's a great place, the Queen City. Let me ask you, it's great to have you on the show. What did you think of their game in Columbus last night? I've always liked their program in basketball. I thought Mick Cronin did a great job there. They've always been, I think, pretty good at hoops. And now the football team, Fickell's done so well. Let's start with the basketball team, what you saw last night in Columbus.
Well, I think they're going to be good, but they do have a new head coach in John Brannan. His style is polar opposite from Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin is a defensive-oriented coach. You're going to try to win games 54-51. John Brannan is an offensive-oriented coach. You're going to try to win games 84-81. And they're still in the adjustment phase, so they didn't play great last night, but I do think it's going to be a very good team and likely to go to the NCAA tournament for the 10th consecutive year.
So did you think Ohio State had a good team when it was all said and done, what you were watching? Because they've had a lot of changes, too.
Yeah, they're good. They're ranked 16th in the country in the coaches' poll. They have Caleb Wesson back. He's one of the best big men in the Big Ten. And they have the number one recruiting class in the Big Ten this year. I think the number four overall recruiting class. So Ohio State has a lot of young guys. They were inconsistent last night, rallied from seven down to beat Cincinnati in the end. But I do think both teams will ultimately wind up in the NCAA tourney.
You made your bones like Pawtucket baseball? Were you doing the Sox up there? And is that where you got your bones made?
Well, it's one of the stops I've had along the way. Like many people in this business, I've bounced around a bit, but right. I did spend 6 years with the mighty Pawtucket Red Sox at McCoy Stadium, and they were fun years.
Wow, so you're a Cuse guy, right?
That is correct.
Were you upset that they scored 34 points last night?
I was. I was also upset with the fact that they played Virginia in the opening game of the season. What are you doing, ACC? Pairing two of your best programs in the season opener where the quality of play is likely to be lousy, and it was. I mean, they will get to play again and hopefully a couple more times, but that's bad scheduling on the part of the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. So what do you think of this football team of Fickell's? I think they're great. And, you know, that game last week was certainly stressful with East Carolina on the road. They got it done, but what a wild game.
They did. They gave up more than 500 passing yards, and Cincinnati is a really good defensive team, so that was a shocker. Thankfully, they escaped with a 46-43 win on a field goal at the gun. But if you look at the rankings, right now Cincinnati is the highest-rated team outside of the Power 5 conferences. And if they can run the table, which isn't going to be easy, but if they can do it, they will play in a New Year's Six Bowl, likely to be the Cotton Bowl. So that's the goal right now.
How do you like Fickell and working with him and doing a radio show with him and just the job he's doing? Because, I think he's not long for this world there. I think he's really making a name for himself, and he's going to be sought after heavily.
No question about it. Schools are going to come after him this offseason, and we'll see what happens. We're kind of used to that at Cincinnati. We've had a run of unbelievably good coaches, and many of them have left after 3 years. This is year three for Coach Fickell. So it happened with Mark D'Antonio. It happened with Brian Kelly. It happened with Butch Jones. We've seen some awfully good ones move on. I'd love Coach Fickell to stick around for a while longer, and he does have six kids, which might be the thing that keeps him in Cincinnati for a while. He's got a young family His wife's family and his extended family are from the Columbus area, so I'm not sure how far he wants to move away from the Midwest, but we'll see what opens up.
I mean, six kids. What is it, the Brady Bunch? I mean, my God.
He is a staunch Catholic, and they have six kids, including two sets of young twin boys.
So, oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what, my respect goes to Amy Fickell, because while Luke Fickell is doing what college football coaches have to do in terms of coaching, recruiting, and managing a program, she is getting it done with the six kids, and like I said, four very young.
That is crazy. Dan Hord, the great voice of the Bengals and Cincinnati hoops and football in the Queen City with us on the bench. Let's talk about the Bengals. It's certainly been a frustrating season, but times are a-changing. They're finally going to go with the kid from NC State, Finley. We've seen him play a lot of college football. It's kind of exciting when you think about it, because they've been with Andy for so long, and they were with Marvin Lewis for so long. And this is just my opinion. Like, it got stale. It really did for me, like, watching them. Because I'm a Steeler fan, so like they're in the division in the North. So I've always watched him, and I've always wondered, what are they doing? Like, I understood why he was there, the continuity and everything that the Browns like. But honestly, like, I thought all of it hit a point. Like, it just was no turning back. And I like the fact that they've got Taylor now. I like the fact that they're actually going to give this kid a chance. How do you feel about it?
Well, I agree with Marvin. I do think over the last few years it did get stale, and obviously his boss and my boss, Mike Brown, agreed when he made the coaching change and turned it over to a very young head coach in Zach Taylor. As for Ryan Finley, they need to find out what they have in him. They've got eight games to go. They're likely to have one of the top picks in the draft. So before you commit to trying to get Tua or Joe Burrow or whomever, you want to find out if Ryan Finley might be the guy. He was a fourth-round draft pick, so typically those guys don't wind up being star quarterbacks in the NFL, but it does happen from time to time, and they certainly want to find out if it might be the case with Ryan Finley. He was certainly impressive in the preseason. In his first preseason game against the Chiefs, he completed his first 10 passes. In his second preseason game against the Redskins, he completed his first 9. He had a passer rating in the preseason of 99+. We'll see what he can do against that Ravens defense this Sunday.
Yeah, that's that football team's enough to drive you nuts trying to stop Lamar Jackson. How do you think the Bengals will deal with him other than it's a nightmare?
Yeah, it is a nightmare, and they faced him twice already. They faced him in his first NFL start about this time last year, November of last year, and they faced him 3 games ago, so they have recent experience of facing Lamar Jackson. He topped 100 yards rushing in both of those games. He's the only quarterback in history to do that in back-to-back games against the same opponent, and it hasn't just been him. When the Ravens have faced the Bengals with Lamar at quarterback, they've rushed for 536 yards in those 2 games. So the Bengals have to find out a way to at least limit the Ravens to something in the 100 to 150 range, as opposed to 250+.
But it wasn't like they got blown out. They lost to them by about 6 or something. And they've been in a lot of games, the Cardinal game, the Raven game, the Bills game, the Seahawk game. I mean, they could just as easily have 4 wins.
Yes, they've had fourth quarter leads in 4 of their games, so they have been close. And you're right, the first one was a 6-point game. Although the Bengals scored a late touchdown to cut the margin to 6, it didn't feel like a 1-score game for much of that game. But as I said, they've faced Lamar Jackson twice. They've lost both of those games, but one was by 3. The other was by 6. So even though they're a double-digit underdog this week, they're not conceding anything. I think those players genuinely believe that they've got a shot at pulling off the upset at home.
Dan Hord with us, the great voice of the Bengals. Do you think that this whole Green situation is – it's just such a disaster, and I guess with this setback now, because I thought he was going to play Sunday, and now today he has a setback. There was some inkling here of when I mentioned it in the open of the show before you came on, I had mentioned that he had had a setback, and then there were people here that said they should shut him down permanently for this year. How do you feel about his latest problems? I mean, this has got to be so frustrating for him because he's such a stud, and he's been worthless.
He's now basically missed an entire season. He missed the last 8 games last year, 7 of the last 8. He was in for 1 quarter and 1 game and he's missed the first eight this year. So he's basically missed an entire season. When he got hurt last year, the Bengals were 5-3. They've won one game since. So that's what A.J. Green means to this franchise. I thought he was going to play this week. Head coach Zach Taylor thought he was going to play this week. Now he is not going to play this week. And today, for the first time, I seriously wondered whether he will play at all this year. He had a setback. He was looking good. He practiced on Monday. Then they had a walkthrough yesterday morning, and his ankle swelled up after that walkthrough. So he's not going to play until he's 100%. He shouldn't play until he's 100%. The team is 0-8. But he's in the final year of his contract. He obviously wants to get paid and should get paid. And in order to get the kind of deal that he deserves and wants, he probably needs to get out there and show that he can be healthy again. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the final eight games of the year.
Do they like Mixon? And I still like, I actually like Atkins' game, rushing the passer. And Sam Hubbard hasn't been bad either, all things being equal.
Yeah, you're right about all of those guys. Joe Mixon led the AFC in rushing last year, and, you know, he's been bad this year, but it really hasn't been his fault. The Bengals have had so many struggles over the last 4 years on the offensive line, and people outside of Cincinnati, and actually even inside of Cincinnati, say, well, why haven't they fixed the offensive line? Don't they realize you've got to have a better line? Well, they do realize it, and they have invested a ton of capital in trying to fix this offensive line. Their last two number one draft picks have been offensive linemen. They traded for Cordy Glenn, which was basically signing a big-time free agent because he had 3 years left on one of the richest left tackle deals in the NFL. When they made the trade, they signed John Miller to be the right guard this year. And despite all of their efforts, Cordy Glenn's been in concussion protocol all year. Jonah Williams, the top offensive lineman in the draft this year, hasn't played. He got injured in minicamp before the training camp even began. So it's just been a disaster in trying to fix that O-line.
Dan, great stuff tonight. I'll be rooting for the Bearcats with this final few games of the football season and hope they get a play in a great big bowl game. I think they've been a lot of fun to watch. I've enjoyed watching them play ball, and continued success with that gig with the university. It's a great gig doing their basketball and football. They got a great athletic program, I think, that's unrecognized. I think it deserves way more attention than it gets. And hopefully the Bengals will turn around for you. I mean, I think they are changing the guard right now. Things are changing. I like it. New coach. Give the kid a shot at quarterback. Let's see where they go. Hopefully AJ will get back one of these days. It's a pleasure having you on the bench tonight. Congrats on all your success and getting the big gigs in Cincinnati. Keep rocking it. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
My pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
My man, Dan Hoard, the voice of the Bearcats and Bengals in the Queen City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.